Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Don't wave what you're packing outside a strip club. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a couple of wild robbery stories that took place inside of Chinese restaurants. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Still coming up on Florida Stories is our audio gold of the week.
There's a guy, he's been attacked by a gator, his arm got bit off, and he's naked.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Wow, no film. Hi, I'm Brad. I'll tell you about it later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's favorite son, Velo Hool. Escanaba, Michigan. Jewelry heist. Walmart. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
A plumbing emergency. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Dan Gaffney's wife.
Tonight, don't miss it.
This is Velo Hool. I'm at Coachella. My people are here. Details later. Velo goes to Coachella. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am very fortunate to have as my first guest a new singing group whose records are already selling in the millions. And they are making their television debut on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, the DeFranco family featuring Tony DeFranco.
So you see, before I go on the air each week, to get in the zone, I listen to one song over and over and over again. And many weeks I share that fact with you. For example, for many weeks I listen to God Only Knows by the Beach Boys over and over again. And then I listen to Broken Hearted Me over and by Anne Murray, over and over again. And by the way, very disturbing fact about Canada, Anne Murray and Alanis Morissette, both Canadians, same initials. It's a cult. It's a secret code. It's a secret code. But then I was thinking about that song, Heartbeat, It's a Love Beat from 1973. No, it came out way, way before my time. But the fact is that I'm like, this is a catchy song. This is all hooks. And I searched it. And I found out that of all things, his television debut was on the Jack Benny Show. The Jack Benny Show in 1973. The man at the beginning was Jack Benny. Now imagine, you're Jack Benny. You are the funniest man alive. You have a network television show. And your producer says, you know, we need to be hip and cool. We need to reach younger demos. Let's get one of those hip and cool teen acts. And not knowing any better, Jack Benny says, okay. Well, there are two important things to remember about the Jack Benny Show and about Jack and about this song. Number one. Jack died 1 year after this song. 1 year after he introduced this song, he was dead. There must have been some Egyptian-type curse that rolled over him late at night. The other thing is Jack Benny had the single most brilliant management theory I have ever heard. I've never heard anybody say anything smarter than this. He did a one-hour show on television, network television, for years. CBS and then NBC. For years he did it. But a friend of his noticed, they said, Jack, about your show, you realize you have on jugglers, other comedians, singers, opera singers, Kate Smith, artists, circus acts. You have all of these acts, Jack. You're on for your show. You're maybe on about 8 minutes for your show. That's it, Jack. Why? And Jack looked at him and said, yes, but it's still my show. Brilliant. That's what so many people we work for forget. We forget that it's their show. If somebody is a boss, you have a boss. Someone owns the beauty salon, they're your boss. They have these wacky ego issues. And people who work for them are all very scared. And they're always saying, well, you know, this is my place and we have to do this. We have to do it this way. This is what management expects from you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's still your show. Why don't you shut up? Why don't you just sit back and enjoy it rather than trying to steal our credit, rather than trying to get all the trade press, trying to get all the publicity for you? You don't have to. It's still your show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is a live network radio show. There are almost none of these. This is like a Tyrannosaurus radio show. Very few of these exist. Very few of them exist. This is, what's it called? What's the name of it? Sterling. Write it down. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. Welcome, welcome. You're driving across Route 8. You're driving across America, going up the 5, going up and down the I-4 and trying to figure out in Florida, wait a minute, this is marked east and west. But on the map here, this highway goes north and south. These are the dilemmas that you and I have to confront every day. Karen Pudetti, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It is fantastic to have you with me because you are the rarest of all creatures in America. You are a successful business person of your own business. There is nothing harder to do than to start your own business and make it successful. Karen, I congratulate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, so many clowns who have MBAs, you know, from venture capital firms, 95% of the VC investments fail because they're run by clowns. Never anybody who has stood on their feet all day and run a business, a retail business like you have. You are my hero. And you're my hero for two reasons. Number one, you're successful. And number two, and I'll paint the frame around this. Number two, you're a successful woman. And any time I come across somebody who is running a successful business and is a woman, they go on this show. Because I know how hard it is not to raise money, but to raise money from other women. There's nothing harder. And especially somebody like you, who's attractive and sharp, you're in front of a bunch of bankers, and you have women in that audience, you're dead. You're a goner. I've seen it myself. I had a woman partner for years. We'd go to meetings. They'd look at her. We were dead. That's my experience.
You're absolutely right.
It's tragic. These are the same women, those bankers, who will march around the breakfast table and say, women have to support women. Women have to. Really, why don't you start by writing a check to Karen Pudetti? Why don't you do that? It's amazing to me. Now, your expertise is in the area of retail beauty salons. And she has written a fantastic book called Rags to Riches by Karen Pudetti. Rags to Riches. Yes, I can actually speak as a professional broadcaster. Now, you went back to school and decided to start your life again, your business life. You received her electrolysis certification, your wax and aesthetic licenses. Knowing you wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, you made a good living for yourself and not depend on a loser husband. She worked out of your house 2.5 days a week, and you were making $100,000 a year.
Yes.
Then you opened a small salon building, ultimately took over and even accommodate your growth because it was hard to find a big enough space to do that. Here are my questions. When you start your own business and you're looking at other entrepreneurs, what was the shocking event? What was the shocking thing that you learned when you went forth and started your own business? Something you didn't anticipate, Karen.
Well, something I didn't anticipate was trying to find people who had the same work ethic as you was one. And so, you know, nowadays, it really took me a while to go into interviewing and knowing exactly what I was looking for. So that was really one thing, is finding like-minded people, because I have my business. And I tell people, I want you to run your business within my business. So they look at it like they're always putting their best foot forward.
When you started your own business, Karen Pudetti, was there an event that surprised you, something that that was shocking, that you went, I never would have guessed this?
Yes and no. I was kind of smart about doing it. My one thing I wanted to do before I even left my home to start building my business, I put a plan together. And the business plan had 1, 3, 5, 10, and 15-year goals. And I broke them down into strategies and procedures. And really, one of the things I had to figure out was like, okay, if I hit this, then what's next? Because I had hit my goals earlier, so I had to keep thinking, what's next, and how am I going to get there? So I think you always have to be looking forward, but really knowing how you're going to implement it. What strategies do you need? What are you going to do next?
You are a consultant to retail businesses focused on beauty, right?
Yes.
All right. When you go to these businesses and you start to share information and advice, do they make a common mistake? Is there a common theme to the mistakes that they are making that could accelerate the growth of their business dramatically if they just wouldn't make that mistake?
Yes. Most people see that they have money coming in and they have some money going out, but they never stop to think, okay, how much of it's coming in and how much exactly is going out? Where's all my money going? So they really never really understand a simple P&L or a spreadsheet to say, this is what's coming in, this is what needs to be paid. And so they just kind of get into this habit of pay, 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 take money in, and they don't set themselves up for A, goals. They don't understand, wait, I need to make a profit of this amount. So they never start like saying, I want to make $10,000 this month. How am I going to do it and back into it? So they're always playing catch up, and they can never really figure out where their finances are and why they are in that position.
I have started a number of businesses with angel funding, angel investors. Mm-hmm. And I said once to the biggest angel investor that I had, I said to him, all right, do you have any advice for me? And he said just what you said. He said, make sure you know where every single penny is and where it's going. And that was the only advice he gave me. And he didn't interfere with the business in any other way. He just said, you make sure you know where that penny is, where the money is. As a consultant, as somebody walking into a salon that may have 10, 50 employees, do you find resistance on the front line because you're a consultant? Is there resistance by the employees to even looking at you?
There is, because they think, well, what does she know? I'm doing everything right. And actually, in my business, I'll take every single employee and we sit down and we'll go over what's your end goal for this year. How are we going to get there? And most of my employees now make over six figures. But I've had to train them how to sit down and go through it and back into every single number. And then the other thing is I have young employees who come to me. I can't pay my bills. So I actually have a class, and it's all about their individual finances and what they're doing with their money, so I can actually show them and teach them kind of how to live within their financial means without blowing it up and then wondering, oh, I'm not making enough money.
Young people, financial advice, pay the rent first. That's the key advice to anybody who's young. Pay the rent first. Now, let me ask you some practical things. First of all, you mentioned that waxing, you're licensed in waxing. Who knew there was a license for waxing? Don't hit the cones. The question is, how do they test you for waxing? Do you tell us how that works?
Well, in each of our licenses in the beauty industry, and in New York, where I'm from, we are pretty, it's a tough state, thank goodness, because you have to take a course, then you have to pass a statewide exam, and then you have to take a hands-on exam and have to pass that.
Now about the hands-on exam. Who the heck would volunteer to be waxed by a newbie?
Well, it's part of your getting your certification. So basically, you bring in your mom or your best friend so you can torture them in front of a panel of 5 to 10 people so you can pass.
Yeah, former best friend. Now, this is a very important question. In a salon or a barbershop, my 17-year-old asked me this last week, what the heck are you supposed to tip, and do they remember how much you tipped?
Yes. So generally the rule of thumb is 20% for aesthetics or hair and all the other beauty services. Do the technicians know what you're tipping? Yeah, they do. A lot of people, there's envelopes, and they'll say thank you. If someone's using Tippy, they'll have it in there, who it's from. So, yeah, and as you build your clientele and you build a rapport with your clients, you know exactly what they're giving each time, yes.
Do they gossip about it?
No. No, that's a definite no-no. I always tell my technicians that it's a gift. Be thankful and extremely grateful, and we never discuss tips or, you know, amongst each other.
All right. I have tens of thousands of Midnight Misfits listening right now. Karen Pudetti, I'll bet you a few of them have a few questions. How can they get in touch with you, Karen Pudetti?
Couple of ways. You can go to my LinkedIn, Karen Jones Pudetti. You can email me directly at kpudetti, P-U-D-E-T-T-I, at lux, L-U-X-E, spa.com.
Karen Pudetti, you are a great guest, and I am grateful for that because most guests suck. And when I was at when I was a consultant to talk stations, I said, don't put on guests. Just get the host to tell stories. Her book is Rags to Riches, Rags to Riches by Karen Pudetti. I will also put it on all of the Sterling on Sunday Instagrams, Facebooks, Twitters, all of that. Karen, I am grateful that you are here today, and thank Bonnie for making it happen. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. This is the kind of radio show you've dreamed of for a Sunday night. This is your fantasy, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Don't wave what you're packing outside a strip club. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a couple of wild robbery stories that took place inside of Chinese restaurants. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Still coming up on Florida Stories is our audio gold of the week.
There's a guy, he's been attacked by a gator, his arm got bit off, and he's naked.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Wow, no film! Hi, I'm Brad. I'll tell you about it later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's favorite son, Velo Hool. Escanaba, Michigan. Jewelry heist. Walmart. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
A plumbing emergency. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Dan Gaffney's wife.
Tonight, don't miss it.
This is Velo Hool. I'm at Coachella. My people are here. Details later. Velo goes to Coachella. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Ever since NBA great Ja Morant got into trouble for waving around a clock inside the strip club, seems like everybody's packing. And he apparently has started a whole run. Let's talk about a great strip club in Wisconsin called the Hunting Shack Gentlemen's Club. Feller shows up. He probably has had a beverage or two. He is waving around his handpiece. Yeah, he's waving it around willy-nilly. What can go wrong? So this is, by the way, near La Crosse. So apparently this feller, security calls the cops. The cops come up. They pick him up. He tried to force himself into the club. Didn't quite work. He did fire a couple of shots. Why not? Couple of notes here, gang. Strip clubs. The only thing you need to be packing is a wad of cash. That's all they care about. Leave the gun at home or in your car. Or perhaps you may want to put it in a safe somewhere. Probably a good idea, especially if you've been drinking. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
All right, everybody's very excited to be with me tonight. Thank you very much. It's actual radio. There's very little actual radio in our world. You and I were talking to Karen Padetta, and she's a great guest. She has put together a successful beauty salon from nothing. She did it in her house at first for years. You'd go to her home, she would do your hair, and then she built it up for a real salon. And then that was too small, and she finally got a 9,000-square-foot building for her salon. Now she is a great consultant. She consults other salons. Anybody who starts a new retail business from scratch is looking at the worst odds possible. Most of them close within 5 years. Most of them close within 5 years. And then if you have a different idea, high tech or something, and you go to venture capitalists, this is what you'll find when you go to venture capitalists. Ready? They're wearing suits that cost more than your house. They have Gucci loafers, $5,000 suits that were custom made by a guy who came from China just for 2 days to your city, meet him, ask for Jeb. You go in the back door, he makes custom suits for you. Maybe even they go wild and have custom ties. Hermes ties, they know which ones are real and which ones are not. And they have a Wharton MBA. Greetings, Philadelphia, WPHD. They have a Wharton MBA. There are two types of MBAs. There's a Wharton MBA, and there are MBAs from all other schools. The MBAs from all other schools, the Masters of Business Administration from all other schools, teach you certain disciplines of management, investing. McKinsey consulting firm or Hay consulting firm, and you're taught how to lay off 86% of the workforce at your clients. That's what you're taught to do. The worst human beings come out of Wharton, the worst, because if they went in almost nice, they are taught how to be the worst human beings on earth. I've had a lot of experience raising money. I have worked for venture capital firms. They asked me to do due diligence on the companies that we want to invest in. They asked me advice on that. I'll sit there. I'll listen very politely. And I charge and charge and charge. Because what I learned as an independent consultant going to venture capital firms is the worst mistake I could make would be to charge them too little. The worst mistake. And the way I judge what I would charge them, I'd look at the conference room. Look at any business's conference room, because that is 100% discretionary spend. Discretionary spend. Look at the furniture. Is it real wood or is it an applique? Is it something they got at Home Depot or was it something made for them? How about the wall hangings? Are any of them real? All of that. And then you come up with your price and then double it. That's what I did. And it worked. Never did they blink. They never once blinked. They were happy to pay it because their biggest problem, when they're doing due diligence, when they're starting to invest in a new company, their biggest problem is they must spend the money. They have to show their investors that they're spending the money. And before a company starts, before an investment starts, they have free rein. Well, they've got so much money, it's crazy talk. But what I found in dealing with venture capitalists, especially and even high-end angel investors, for 3 years, I had a partner who was one of the first online web stars, which you now call influencers, which is lame because they're stars. These people who are, quote, influencers, those are stars. They have more viewers than any cable channel. Those online influencers have more viewers than any cable channel. To me, that's a star. And I'd go with her to various companies to raise money for our company, which was called HitViews, the first company to identify online video stars and to monetize them by convincing big brands to give them messages and product to integrate into their videos. We were the first. We started in May 2007, and then we won the prestigious UMA Award, which I wasn't impressed with at the time, but later I was told I should be impressed with. Well, let me tell you, she happened to be 18, and she happened to be charming and Australian, and she was a non-threatening beauty. She was very pretty, but, you know, not bikini gorgeous. She was gorgeous. But no threat. Her personality was no threat. She was terrific, is terrific. We'd go to these venture capital firms. We'd go to meet potential investors. If there was a woman in the room, might as well have left. Might as well have left. And then I learned something very interesting about women and money and spending. My two young daughters, of course, made lemonade stands. That's what you do. They made lemonade stands, and they'd stand out there for 2 or 3 hours in July to sell lemonade. Once a man in an 18-wheeler saw them and stopped his 18-wheeler in the middle of a busy street, ran out and bought lemonade from them. Any single man who walked by them, rode by them, drove by them, would stop and buy lemonade. And they were like 5 and 8. They'd stop and buy lemonade. It was adorable. If a couple came along, two men, they would stop and buy lemonade. If a woman and a man came along, half the time they would stop and the man would buy the lemonade. But if a single woman passed them, no way was she going to spend one penny. If two women passed them, no way were they going to spend one penny for those girls' lemonade. I watched this for hours and hours, day after day. It was absolute statistical fact. And coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Alaska, and we're going to find out about the snake in the sky over Alaska. Yes, a snake in the sky over Alaska. Why? Because this is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi.
I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a couple of wild robbery stories that took place inside of Chinese restaurants. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Still coming up on Florida Stories is our audio gold of the week.
There's a guy, he's been attacked by a gator, his arm got bit off and he's naked.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Wow, no film. Hi, I'm Brad. I'll tell you about it later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's favorite son, Velo Hool. Escanaba, Michigan. Jewelry heist. Walmart. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
A plumbing emergency. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Dan Gaffney's wife.
Tonight, don't miss it.
This is Velo Hool. I'm at Coachella. My people are here. Details later. Velo goes to Coachella. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Reports from our old house with our kids.
Let's just plunge right into this one. Last fall, we talked about how you got all this credit for fixing our plumbing because you posted a picture of yourself on Facebook, like, you know, deep down right. in the dredges, the trenches of our plumbing emergency. And we had the same emergency.
Well, it's root intrusion into the main drain line, and I needed a plumber. Here's what was happening when we discovered the problem. We were getting ready to leave the kids. We had an important engagement to get to in about an hour. Couldn't crawl under the house and snake the drain line while I'm trying to put on a tuxedo.
So basically, we told them not to use the toilet and we'd be back.
So in a panic for me, I had to break down and ask you to call a plumber.
Which I didn't see as any big deal at the time, and you basically felt like it was the end of the world.
Right, I was hyperventilating.
Pretty much.
So I'll tell you what happened, though. Plumber comes over, snakes open the drain line. What else did he do? Snaked the toilets, did all the stuff while I was in my tuxedo doing my thing.
Right. He went in and went into all the toilets inside and snaked them and then snaked from the house to the road, apparently. But he didn't go the way that you thought he needed to go. And it still didn't fix the problem.
So we pay the guy hundreds of dollars. The next day, the problem is still there. And I had to, again, still go under the house into the drain line with my hand snake and start snaking, and busted loose the drain line clog. So what good was it calling the plumber?
It stopped you from hyperventilating for 30 seconds. I mean, I think that was worth the cost because it was pretty much the biggest moment of anxiety I've seen you have since the last time you overslept.
So to pay us back for the hundreds, we've rescheduled the plumber. He's going to come and do some other fixes to hopefully give us an easier way to prevent this and to bypass this area that's old drain line with too many roots intruding. So I think we'll be all right.
The takeaway from this, in my opinion, is if you're going to buy an old house and you can't afford to redo the electric and the plumbing and basically gut the thing and make it new, don't buy an old house.
Why can't these plumbers do it the right way? I'm not a plumber. I knew how to do it. He's the professional.
I think you should post that on Facebook and see if all the ladies tell you what a wonderful man you are again, honey. And you know what? I'll take a picture of you in your tuxedo plunging the toilet just for extra credit. Let's do it.
Ooh, what bow tie should I wear?
Ugh, give me a break.
Kevin Graham, program director of WPAP in Dallas, gave us a great gift. He gave us Judy. Judy from Dallas. Judy gives us the gift of a dad joke. Judy, welcome to our giant radio show. Welcome. Please share with us your dad joke.
Okay. What concert cost $3,000?
Hey, Judy, I love you. You know that? Tell somebody who's with you to turn off that radio, okay? I need to hear you in your purest form. I need you to share with us in your purest form. Now, please tell us the joke.
Okay, what concert? Because for a fat sense.
Say it again, because that radio's on behind you making me crazy.
What concert? Awesome, for a fat sense.
Say it once more. You speak beautifully, but I don't listen perfectly, so please say it once more.
What concert? Costs only 45 cents.
What concert costs only 35 cents? Is that right?
No, only 45 cents. 45.
Okay, start again. Speak close to the phone, because I want to hear this joke. Start again, close to the phone. Tell the clown behind you to turn off the radio, okay?
Hey, Ed. Can you turn that down for a second? My concert costs only 3 cents.
What concert only costs 35 cents?
45 cents, which only costs 45.
Oh, what concert costs only 45 cents? Sorry, what concert costs only 45 cents?
A BBC concert with featuring Andy Hoback.
Say it again.
A BBC concert featuring Nickelback.
Judy from Dallas, thank you for the dad joke.
I am very fortunate to have as my first guest a new singing group whose records are already selling in the millions. And they are making their television debut on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, the DeFranco family featuring Tony DeFranco.
Ladies and gentlemen, music to do your taxes by. The night before our taxes are due, and you're spending it the right way with me, Walter Sterling. And this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Yes, I am powerful enough to have a vanity phone number. No, really, powerful enough to have a vanity phone number. Now, I'm looking for something very important on my computer, which is my personality. As Peter Bolger said, that computer of yours, is that your personality? Meaning all the little clips that I play? Yes, Peter, it's my personality. But at least I have a personality, which most talk show hosts do not have. Because what are they doing? They're complaining about the Democrats. Let's complain about the Democrats. Oh, my gosh. Can't we do better? Can't we do better, ladies and gentlemen? They're all worried about the fact that the new Tesla and some other cars, some Fords, are not going to have AM radio. They're all worried about this. And, you know, and the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, which is a lobbying organization, is all up in arms because, you know, AM is great for emergencies. And I'm like, AM's great for emergencies? Is that our marketing plan? When you think death, tune to AM? Is that the marketing plan? Sounds like such a bad, horrible, wretched plan. Really? Oh, my gosh. And the fact is that it has nothing to do with the AM band. Nothing. It has to do with what is on the AM band, most of which is horrible. This station, really good. But most AM stations are horrible, and that's why I'm going to share a radio fact with you. And that's why in most cities, in the top 25 station ratings, there may be one AM station. And therefore, I would urge my radio friends, that's you, you're my radio friend, even though you're a complete misfit. Now, all people in radio are misfits. Horrible. It's just a horrible group of people who wear Sansibelt pants and their lunch is hanging over those pants. They don't know how to buy clothes and they don't know any girls. Even the women don't know any girls. That's the radio industry. The fact is, if AM was compelling, if there was dynamic, wonderful shows on all day like this one, there wouldn't be any issue. There wouldn't be any issue. But you look at the ratings, and of the top 25, 50 stations in any given city, there may be one AM listed, like KMOX in St. Louis. Listen, congratulations to the St. Louis City Soccer Club and St. Louis Cardinals on a big win this weekend. The Cardinals and the St. Louis City Soccer Club had huge wins this weekend, and I congratulate you. It is such an honor to be part of the St. Louis community on KMOX. It only raises one issue, which is, why the heck aren't I on every day? Now, the other thing is, I know you've torn yourself away to do your taxes, but you've also torn yourself away because you were at Coachella. Coachella, major music, society, you know, something. But Coachella isn't what you think. Coachella isn't some drug-fueled, overheated, wacky bunch of teens. No, Coachella is an amazingly professional entertainment venue. The stages at Coachella are beautiful. The acts are major league. And because of that, I feel the need to have a live reporter there. A live reporter there, Velo Hul. Velo Hul is at Coachella. I'm repeating his name several times because I need to make sure he's actually going to come in. Velo, welcome.
I'm Velo Hul, live to tape at Coachella. It's my favorite festival. Rarely do I get to bond with so many people who I absolutely do not know. But I bet they're either strippers or Walmart shoppers. Or both. My people. So here's a celebrity I've never heard of, but she seems kind of angry. Please come within the sound of my voice. Why are you so angry?
Do you understand, like, how it has affected me emotionally, knowing that you guys have kept this secret from me for years?
I hate Tom Sandoval for what he did.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no idea who these people are. But I guess she's Ariana Maddox. Guess she missed the markdowns at Walmart this week. I'm Velo Hul at Coachella, which rhymes with hella.
Thank you.
Sterling at night.
I definitely don't mean to keep interrupting you, Velo, but I appreciate the report. There is no other radio show on this station that has a live reporter in Coachella. At Coachella. What is the proper whatever? What is it at or in or around Coachella? What? What'd you say? At Coachella. Thank you. Finally, support. what is it? Is it Sean Speaks or Sean Talks? All right. Now, Sean Talks is the podcast that you want to download to take on your way to work tomorrow, Monday morning. Sean Talks podcast. Download this and listen to it, because Sean is like a really smart street guy who has a daughter he's raising himself, I think, and she's happy, and Sean is happy. But you want to hear what he has to say, because usually podcasts are horrible. Usually a podcast sounds like this. All right, now we're going to consider some of these factors that we hadn't reviewed before, things that are going on right now in Amsterdam, because that is the hub of intellectuality. Amsterdam. Oh, my God. Let me tell you a secret about public radio, the biggest waste of money in the world. You ready for this? Public radio, NPR, has a programming budget of over $50 million. And it has a news budget, which is separate, of over $50 million. And if you go to Washington, D.C., and you want to visit the NPR headquarters, you are not allowed anything resembling a camera, an iPhone, an Android phone. Who would want an Android phone? What a loser you are. Because their equipment is top of the line. It is Rolls-Royce equipment there, and they don't want to see that a nonprofit They don't want you to see that a nonprofit has the best equipment of any radio company in America. No one's supposed to see that. And then I'm like, you know, how could anybody listen to something this slow? How could anybody listen to that? And I asked a friend of mine who is a news anchor on public radio in a very big city. I said to her, why do you all talk like this? And she said, we are told to. I said, why? Why? Because management actually thinks that listeners are that stupid and that they have to be spoken to very slowly. As a result, there's a fascinating fact about public radio's audience. And the fascinating fact about public radio's audience is this. They're divided into two groups, really old, smart people, really old, well-educated, smart people who right now are sleeping in tweed. They go to bed in tweed and pipes, and that's just the women. But the other part of their audience are people for whom English is a second language. And I congratulate you. You came to our country legally. You're part of the American culture. You're learning English. But right now, your primary language is a different language. Okay, great. They listen to public radio. Why? Because it's so slow. It's so slow. All right, when you call in tonight at 888-688-WALT, I'm going to ask you to identify these songs. Oh, that's a bed for me to speak. 888-688. I was listening. I'm like, what song is that? I don't know that song. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. There's this horrendous story about the 6-year-old kid who went to school with a gun from mommy and daddy and killed the teacher. And this week, the parent was thrown in jail. The parent of the 6-year-old kid was thrown in jail for being negligent, a bad parent, and the parent was held responsible for the actions of the 6-year-old. And to me, that sets up a horrible precedent, a terrible precedent. I don't care. That parent had that kid, had that gun hidden and locked up, and the kid being a kid, and it's why I don't have guns in the house, because the kid will find the gun. But no way in hell do I believe that any parent should be held responsible for the actions of their kid. No way. It will lead to a series of horrible, horrible convictions. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258.
Sterling, on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
They're called Youpers. Youpers. They are people who are from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's really more North Wisconsin, but, you know, hey, who's saying? All right, Escanaba, which is one of the fine towns of that area, they have a Walmart. And a gentleman was, shall we say, coveting the wonderful jewelry collection you can only get at a Walmart. He just shows up and starts whacking the jewelry case with a hammer. A hammer that he actually grabbed from the hammer section at the Walmart. Starts smashing away, and it was a smash and grab, but that's what they call it. But it was for Walmart jewelry. He didn't go to a fancy jewelry store. He didn't go to the mall and hit K. He went to Walmart. Did that smash and grab thing.
Walmart had to close because of all the glass everywhere. And also the sad thing that the staff was horrified about an actual smash and grab at the Walmart. That jewelry case at Walmart, I'm going to give you a tip. That jewelry case at Walmart, I'll give you a little tip. You think that jewelry's worth anything? Move along, because it ain't. You can steal Pop-Tarts with more value on the black market than jewelry at Walmart. Sad but true. For the people of Walmart, it's Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Oh, it's so exciting to hear Velo, and he's our correspondent at Coachella. Very grateful to all of his contributions to this giant network radio show, which is how long? How many hours? It's 3 hours long. 3 hours long every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Coast time at KFBK in Sacramento. Terry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Well, I'm excited to speak to you. Is your radio on? Turn it off. People have been saying that since 1957. Okay. So, right, what's up, Aaron. Terry?
Hey, I'm glad to hear that teacher is okay. At least not being okay, but he didn't die from getting shot by a 6-year-old. That's crazy. But, as far as I know, 6-year-olds really can't get to school independently, can they? You know, so somebody has to take that kid to school and dress that, make sure the kid gets dressed. How do you allow a kid 6 years old to bring a gun to school? You're not paying attention to it. You can't be paying attention.
Terry, the one thing you said that I've never heard anyone else say, and it's so obvious and brilliant, which is somebody had to dress that child and somebody had to take the kid to school. When they're six, somebody...
hug that child before he went to school. The parent has to, really pay attention to their child. They have to dress them, hug them, and make sure that they're, get school safely now.
Make sure they dress them, hug them, and make sure they aren't armed.
Exactly. Pat them down.
Pat down those kids.
How do you not pay attention to what a 6-year-old is doing?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Now, Terry, because you made such a good observation, I'm going to give you a chance to win the most valuable thing in our culture today, a dozen eggs. All you have to do is identify these three songs. All right, Terry, listening on KFBK, Bill White's radio station. Name those three songs for a dozen eggs.
And you know what? I love music my whole life, but I have no idea. I've never heard those songs before in my life. That's it. Wow.
Listen, buddy.
But you know what, though? It's been a lot of fun talking to you, buddy.
It's a lot of fun talking to you, Terry, at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You and I are talking about this amazing story, that horrible story about the 6-year-old boy who shot their teacher, but the mom is the one being indicted. A grand jury charged the boy's 25-year-old mother with felony child neglect and a misdemeanor charge of endangering a child by reckless storage of a firearm. Wow. I will never understand this. The teacher is planning to turn herself in later this week. Can you imagine? Think about the things your kids have done that are borderline illegal or just flat out illegal. Can you imagine? You're indicted for it, not the kids being sent to reform school where they have to bathe in feces. That was always the story about reform school. They have to bathe in feces. When I was a kid, we made up all of this information, misinformation about reform schools. and where they were. I never saw a reform school. Did you ever see one? You ever been inside one? I don't think they actually existed. I think if you were a bad enough kid, your reform school is that the school expelled you and you had to stay at home with your mother all day and night. All day and night, your parents reviewing your behavior. That's what I think reform school was, is. And now it's, what is it, juvenile detention? What the heck? What do you think is going to come out of that? Well, who's going to come out of juvenile detention with a skill that's legal? Without a drug habit that's legal? The whole system screwed up. But this is the worst I've ever heard, which is that kid does something wrong, really wrong, fortunately not a fatality wrong, and mom is indicted. Don't agree with it, makes no sense, and I'm right. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in the Midnight Misfit Hour, Drew Scott, a skilled ufologist who actually has the capability, he says, to control UFOs with his mind, to summon them, just like on the X-Files. Remember the band of evil men on the X-Files? Remember that? They seemed to have a signal that they could send to the aliens, and the aliens would arrive. And then the aliens did arrive, and one of them looks at the other ones and goes, "Who gave the signal? Who gave the signal?" I'm like, they had a signal? What they do? They have a button, like an electric garage door opener? What kind of signal would they have had? Would they have shined a Batman light in the sky for the UFOs to come? It all seemed very fishy. He will be with us coming up in just seconds. Is this an exciting show? Have you heard anything like this? You might think to yourself, why isn't this on 5 nights a week? And I will tell you the reason it isn't on 5 nights a week, because I have met maybe 3 program directors in my life who would say, let's get rid of Art Bell. Do you realize Art Bell died 20 years ago, and there are actually stations that are airing Art Bell at night rather than this? This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a couple of wild robbery stories that took place inside of Chinese restaurants. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Still coming up on Florida Stories is our audio gold of the week.
There's a guy, he's been attacked by a gator, his arm got bit off, and he's naked.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Wow, no film! Hi, I'm Brad. I'll tell you about it later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're an introvert. You don't fit in. That's why you work the late shift, the third shift, and that's why I'm with you, because I work the third shift and the late shift. If anybody ever said to me, Walter Sterling, if they said, Walter Sterling, we're going to put you on in morning drive, I would say, no, I'm not going to work morning drive. I'm not going to get up at 3:30 in the morning. I'm going to go to bed at 3:30 in the morning. That's what I do, because I am an introvert. And there are many different kinds of introverts, and you and I will hear an amazing analysis of introverts coming up in just seconds. Maybe you'll be able to identify. First, Vince in California, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
How you doing?
Well, Vince, I'm excited. Now, which highway are you nearest? Which interstate do you live nearest? And turn off your radio.
80.
Oh, come on. Why do I have to say this on the air? Why do I have to say it on the air?
I'm sorry.
Your fault. My gosh. Okay. Since 1957, we've been saying turn off your radio. It is bad programming.
I don't have my radio on. I had you on speaker.
Even worse.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, I live by 80, Interstate 80, Bell Road.
Got it. How may I service you tonight, Vince?
Well, I love your show. I'm a longtime listener, but first-time caller. I'm kind of that kid that shot his teacher. I didn't shoot no one, though.
Yeah?
But I did. We would get in my dad's gun cabinet from 8 years old on all the time. He plays with his guns all the time, take the 22 rifle out and shoot it. Never an issue. We never had an issue until one day I did take the .38 special out, and my dad never kept it loaded, but he did that day. And I pulled the trigger, pointing it at my friend's head, and at the last second, I veered off to the right a little bit, and it went off. Bam! Scared the hell out of all of us. There was three of us there. And we cleaned it up. I didn't realize how close I come to shooting his head off until after I got it all cleaned up and we got our story straight that nothing happened. And
that nothing happened. Excellent.
And nothing happened. But to this day, my friend and I still, we kind of chuckle about it, you know. And not a funny, just a funny woo, you know.
Because
I came so close to blowing his head off, you know. And I know, I was 12 years old at the time. And to this day, now I know what my dad meant when he said the gun's always loaded. I didn't know what he meant. Gun's always loaded, you know, and I have a gun right now. I can get to it right now in 20 seconds, but I don't have kids around.
Well,
and that lady, if she had a lock key on it, great. Where's the key? You should have that 24/7, you know, where that's at 24/7.
Well,
now, should she be having all this stuff thrown at her? Hell no.
No, 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 no. Mom should not be indicted for the actions of the kid, no matter how old, no matter what it is.
I think mom and the child should be in counseling right now, because that child needs to realize what he did and realize the severity of it and all that. That, heck yes. But to indict the mom, that's just ridiculous.
I agree. Now, listen.
What's that going to do?
Do nothing except wind up with a kid who doesn't have his mother. That's what it's going to do. If that mom goes to jail.
Fix the problem.
Fix the problem.
Getting into counseling right now.
All right, now listen to me very carefully.
And the schools should be hammered on.
I agree. Now listen to me. Yeah, it was the school's responsibility, in my opinion. The fact
Absolutely.
Is there were
110%.
Adults in that school who knew that kid had a gun with him. They knew. Now listen to me carefully. The most valuable thing you could possibly buy today is a dozen eggs. And I will give you a dozen eggs if you can identify.
I don't know this answer. I know you're going to.
Yeah, just listen.
Go ahead. I'll listen.
All right, Mr. Sacramento, what are those three songs
for? Is the one pink?
Dozen eggs.
Is the one pink?
Is the one what?
The rock singer pink?
No. But thank you very much for calling, and thanks for listening to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. There is Dave Scott. Now, the important thing about Dave Scott is that he's a Canadian. We have a surprising number of Canadians who do call in, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for every listener. But listen, Dave, he had a contact from an entity he calls the Angel of Death. And in the Angel of Death, he saw his mother's eyes, which led to his first channeling experience. After this incident, Dave's personal experiences started to become more frequent. Paranormal experiences, premonitions, they started to come true. Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I am grateful that you are here, and you're going to make the show very exciting.
Well, I appreciate you bringing in my weirdness from one radio host to another. Thank you so much for having me tonight on the show with you.
Tell me what you would like to cover. What is the most important thing that I ask you tonight, Dave Scott? And the reason I say that is a couple times I have actually been a contributor, a guest on Fox News. And what always surprises me is that as their break is ending, the host leans into me and says, what are the first two questions I should ask you? Which shows you just what a giant writing staff can do for you. Dave, what is the most important thing I can ask you?
Probably the most important thing you can ask right now, are UFOs real?
All right, Dave Scott's answer to are UFOs real coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of I, Carly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a couple of wild robbery stories that took place inside of Chinese restaurants. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Still coming up on Florida Stories is our audio gold of the week.
There's a guy, he's been attacked by a gator, his arm got bit off, and he's naked.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Wow, no film! Hi, I'm Brad. I'll tell you about it later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dave Scott is the creator and host of Canada's Spaced Out Radio. He has a website, spacedoutradio.com, spacedoutradio.com. And since 2011, he has had contact with what he calls with the angel of death. The angel of death. Dave Scott, what the heck is the angel of death? Where did you see the angel of death, and what did the angel of death tell you?
Oh, this is a very prime story. So back on December 13th, 2011, I was having a Christmas party for my daughter, who is going away over Christmas and New Year's with my ex-wife's parents on a Caribbean cruise. So I decided to throw my daughter a family Christmas dinner beforehand. And you know, we had about 20 people in my house, and about 7:45, my parents decided that they were going to leave, you know, because dancing with the stars is a little bit more important than family time. And I was a little upset about that. So I decided that I was going to, you know, take my rage out and help clean up the dishes and the cups that were all in my living room and dining room from family, you know, finding places to eat. And my mother walked into the kitchen, and my mother is a 2-time cancer survivor. And radiation and chemotherapy has really beat her up over the years. And I walk into the kitchen to give my mom a hug to say goodbye. And my as I cross the doorway, I realize that everybody in my house went silent. My TV went silent. It was like everything stood still. And I look my mother in the eyes. She has these beautiful blue eyes. And her eyes are jet black with her pupils white. And immediately, and I don't know how to this day I knew it, but I knew I was staring into the eyes of the angel of death. And I kind of cocked my head to the right, and my mother got this look of shock on her face, like, oh, you see me. My mother then shook her head, her eyes went back blue, and everybody started talking, and the TV was going again. It was like there was a pause in time that I was having this interactive moment. I felt exactly sick to my stomach. I wanted to bawl my eyes out because I wasn't sure if this was going to be my last time seeing my mom. So a couple hours after this happened, my current wife takes me into our living room. She's into all this woo, this meditation crap at the time that I thought it was, and all of this spiritual Zen and Chi. And I really wasn't into that. And she goes, well, let me light a couple of candles and let's just relax and see what you can remember from what you saw. So I said, okay, I'll do that with you. So it only took a couple of minutes before I felt like I had went into this trance-like state. And the next thing I know, this angel of death is speaking through me, which many people call channeling. I had never heard of the word channeling before that moment. to me, channeling was grabbing the remote control on a late Sunday night at about midnight, 1 a.m., trying to figure out what the hell to watch on television, because there's nothing on that's ever any good at that time. So you're scrolling through the channels as quickly as you can to watch the sports highlights for about the fourth or fifth time in a row. And anyways, this spirit that I call the Angel of Death started communicating through me. And it was like my wife was interviewing him through me. And the first thing that he said was that I can recall was that I was not supposed to see him. But because I did, he felt he owed me some answers. He told me that if that my mother truly was still quite ill, and that as we have, if we as a family did not starting treating my mother with more love and respect, he was going to take her home. Now, the thing that interests me about that was he said he was going to take her home. He didn't mention heaven. He didn't mention hell. And I come from a real God-fearing family, so that was quite interesting to me. And then I remember being asking him, well, how can we keep my mother alive? And he says, you need to start showing her more love and respect. If you don't, I'm going to take her. And so I immediately, the next couple of days, got a hold of members of my family, told them what happened, and that mom was really still ill. And I'm proud to say, you know, 12 years later, my mother will be turning 80 in 2 weeks, and she's still with us.
Dave Scott is the host of Spaced Out Radio, a Canadian show. His website is spacedoutradio.com, spacedoutradio.com. Have you been visited by the Angel of Death after that event with your mother?
Only one other time, and it was when my wife's grandmother passed away. This was about 6 months after, and the grandmother was like 94 years old. We got the call to race into the nursing home that she was in. And so my wife and I were standing about 9 minutes before she breathed her final breath. My wife and I were standing right at the end of the bed where her feet were, where grandma's feet were. And I barely knew this lady. I had only met her about 3 or 4 times in the time that we had been together at that time. And, you know, she was a lovely lady, but I had no emotional connection. And when we had walked into that room a couple hours previous to that, the one thing that for your listeners who have maybe had a weird experience or lived in a haunted house, you'll understand when I say this, that everything comes with an energy pattern. You recognize it. So when I walked in that room, I knew from what I had experienced with my mother that the Angel of Death was in that room. So I was stupid. I was being cocky, you know, like saying under my breath, come on, show me. I know you're here. Just show me where you are. And about 9 minutes before the grandmother breathed her final breath, I was standing at the front of the bed. My wife is on my right side. She's bawling her eyes out. The family's all around bawling their eyes out. And all of a sudden, as God is my witness, man, I watched her spirit come out of her body. And it was standing right above her chest. It was shaped like a deflated football in that oval shape. And it was kind of like a swirling white cloud. And I had this message come strongly in my head that said, is this it? Is this what it's all about? Is this what you want to see? And then, boom, man, like a snap of a finger, I watched the spirit of her grandmother shoot right through the ceiling. And the Angel of Death energy all of a sudden was gone. And I stood there in front of everybody and went, holy crap. I used something else. My wife kind of looks at me and I started laughing. So I pulled my wife out of the room and I'm like, honey, you're not going to believe what I just saw. And she's like, what is it? I said, I just saw your grandmother's spirit leave her body. And she's like, no way. She's like, I don't believe you. My grandmother's still breathing. I said, honey, she's gone. I watched her leave. And we go back inside and 9 minutes later, grandma breathed her final breath.
There you go. Tony in Pittsburgh, you're on the radio with Dave Scott and Walter Sterling. Welcome. Tony in Pittsburgh at 888-688-WALT.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're excited to be speaking with Pittsburgh.
It's a lovely place.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, I had a question for you. Of all of the movies about aliens and extraterrestrials, would you say one is closest to reality?
Great question.
Great question. And by the way, do me a favor, because I haven't been back to Pittsburgh in about 10 years. Have a Pramani sandwich for me, if you don't mind. Love those.
You know what? I haven't had one in quite a while, so I'm going to do that soon.
Powerful local references. Powerful local references. All right, Dave, answer Tony's question.
Okay, I have two movies for you, Tony. Number one, go back to the 1970s for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I strongly believe that this is what this is a movie that there are many in the American government and the Pentagon that are trying to cover up is situations like that. But here's another one for experiencers that you may have forgotten. In 1986, the Disney Corporation created a movie called Flight of the Navigator. This is about a little boy who gets abducted and he's brought back to his home, but it's 8 years later. His younger brother is now older than him, and it's about him flying a UFO. And
I have a DVD.
Those are the two that I would say are the most realistic movies that are out there regarding alien contact and the UFO phenomena.
Tony in Pittsburgh, always good to hear from you, sir. Thank you very much for calling tonight. And Dave Scott, find out more about Dave Scott at spacedoutradio.com. I don't believe the Sasquatch nonsense, but I believe the UFO stuff. Spacedoutradio.com. Dave Scott, thank you for sharing these great stories on Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on a Sunday evening. It may be good to be with you. I don't know how you smell. I don't know if you've bathed. I may not want to be with you. It's entirely possible we'd have nothing in common. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we are starting in Jacksonville. A 53-year-old Florida woman has not been getting along swimmingly with her 24-year-old son, but he invited her over to his apartment to talk things out and bury the hatchet. Well, that's at least what he told her. When she got there, he did the deadbolt and beat her with a hammer until she was dead. Neighbor heard a bunch of screaming from an old lady, called the cops. They come arrest him. There's no record of abuse from the mom. Just how crazy do you have to be to kill your own mother? Florida crazy. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Claremont, Florida. This is one of my favorite stories of the day because we have some viral video and we also have some police video of this one with the report. Fox 35.
A woman armed with a pitchfork and a whip was trying to sell teddy bears outside of a public store. This is dash cam video from a Florida trooper squad car pulling up to the store. Troopers say 56-year-old was pointing a whip at the trooper.
Yeah, and look, what they're not telling you here is not only is she out there with a pitchfork and a black whip trying to sell teddy bears, screaming at cops, it is raining. And I don't mean there's a nice little drizzle. It is raining cats and dogs. She's out there in a rainstorm doing this. And what you're not going to see here is this seems to be it's like a dash cam video, but it's the backseat of the police car. And she's not buckled in, so she lays down and starts kicking the door window, trying to bust it out.
Oh, please take her at me.
But doesn't she sound like just a lovely woman?
Investigators say Sloan stabbed a minivan with a pitchfork before she was arrested.
Yeah, after doing this show for like 4 years now, I just imagine this is what happens at all the Publix in Florida like once a day, if not twice a day. But let's check all this out. There's a pitchfork. There's a whip. She's selling teddy bears, which is just random as hell. She stabbed a minivan. I've never even heard of that before. And then Fox 35 comes in and drops a Captain Obvious atom bomb here.
Troopers say she appeared to be under the influence of some sort of stimulant drug.
Yeah, you think she might be on some sort of stimulant drug? Yeah, Fox 35, but we all think that's a pretty safe bet. Hold my beer. Wait.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
In 30 minutes, you can hear part two of Florida Stories on my Midnight Misfit podcast. It will drop in 30 minutes. Midnight Misfit podcast here, part two of Florida Stories. And here's the ugly fact. Best Buy is going to lay off hundreds of workers across more than 900 stores with staffers who specialize in selling computers and smartphones. They'll be the first to go. I have a very strong feeling about these companies that lay off thousands of people. And that has happened in the past year to a shocking degree. In the past 6 months, thousands of people have been laid off. I don't think they should be laid off until the person who hired them gets laid off. The jerk MBA, the CEO, the COO, they should be laid off first. You hire thousands of people that have to be laid off. Are you that bad a planner? Are you that miserable a planner that you can't figure out that maybe in a year or two we won't need thousands of people? I know. Why don't you hire like 10 every now and then, see how that goes? These companies are so grossly overstaffed. These companies are so miserably managed that all the MBAs, the CFOs of these companies, they should be laid off first before they get the privilege of stealing someone's livelihood, disrupting those families, sending people into fits of depression, despair, and eviction. First, Mr. CFO, first, Mr. CEO, you should be fired. And then we'll look at the rest of the staff. If you've made a 1,000 employee mistake, you need to be fired first. Oh, and you're going to cut people's pay? Okay, first the CEO, the COO, and the CFO, they need to have their pay cut first. That's how this should be going. On the podcast, the Midnight Misfit podcast, I will talk about what to do when you get fired, because that's where you may make a terrible mistake, just a horrible mistake. The greatest gift that you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play. And